Welcome to the Marriage Adventure Podcast, where the journey is the destination. It's the highs, the lows, and everything in between.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We're your hosts, Daniel and Bonnie Hoover.
Yeah, it's so great to be with you guys. And hey, today's episode is brought to you by Peloton. Who are we kidding? We don't have any sponsors. It's just us. Wouldn't that be great, though?
It would be great.
So, like, who, if you could have any sponsor, who would you have?
Any sponsor? You put me on the spot.
You have anybody in mind?
Yeah, Chip and Joanna Gaines.
Wouldn't that be great? That'd be great. I've got one. Okay. I've been praying about this.
Okay.
Like, for the past 5 years, even before podcasts were popular and we knew, okay. I've been praying about our podcast sponsor.
Okay, what?
Who? Waffle House.
Waffle House.
Waffle House is the perfect podcast sponsor.
Why is that?
Because, you know, when you go in Waffle House, they've got the big booths, but then they also have the little two-person small booths on the side of a lot of Waffle Houses, so it's perfect for a date night. And it's not too expensive, but it's not too cheap, because if you go off menu and you just start adding those a la carte things, it can get pretty, you know, I mean, it can get up into a nice date range.
So is that... Our next date night?
Well, and then also I've got a third reason I've been praying. God's revealed these things to me.
Okay. All right.
Nobody makes scrambled cheesy eggs like Waffle House. They own the patent on how to get them just right.
They do.
And creamy. And so, see, I'm saying a lot of nice things about them. So if a Waffle Houser hears this,
that's right.
Maybe they'll sponsor us.
Okay.
Hashtag Waffle House. I think they'd be a perfect sponsor for this. Better than Peloton, because they have that whole Christmas ad thing that was really blew up in their face.
Okay, yeah.
And I don't like Peloton. I don't like riding a bike.
Gotcha.
Waffle House. And Chip and Joanna. Hashtag.
Yeah, Chip and Joanna. That'd be great. So, yeah. Well, we have had a pretty good week around here. Just some of the normal stuff going on. And... stay-at-home world. I didn't tell you this, Daniel. We have the kids take care of their own laundry. I actually wash the laundry and dry it. And then usually while they're at school, I will lay their laundry out in piles so that it doesn't get wrinkled. I'll put it in nice flat piles. I'll go on and shake them out and put it in a pile. And when they get home...
So them washing their own clothes, has that gone by the wayside?
Yeah, because it just is not convenient for me. It's just kind of gotten hard for me to
be a pain in the butt.
Yeah, it's a pain. So, I'm still back to washing and drying, but they still have to fold everything and put it away. So when they walk in the door after school and they see their pile of laundry in the middle of the floor, it's all, this automatic, it's like, like I have to do something not fun when I get home from school. But
well, let's fill everybody in. So a couple weeks ago, Bonnie did laundry. It was like on a Saturday, or no, it was out on a Wednesday, and you had just done laundry on Saturday, so, or maybe it was a Tuesday, so it was 3 days later, something like that, and their piles were massive, and it had only been like 3 days, and mine and Bonnie's pile, I had like one or two shirts, a couple pair of underwear, a couple pair of socks, that's it. It was really tiny. Bonnie's pile was really tiny. Their piles like had every piece of clothes they've ever owned in them.
Three pairs of clothes per day.
And you know how kids are. They come home, they change clothes, they keep it on 5 minutes, they throw it in the dirty clothes. Colby didn't even, he like got on some pants that morning, didn't even wear them to school, they didn't match, and he threw them in the dirty clothes.
Yep.
So we had the little conversation with him then, guys. You're hurting yourself. You could really lighten your load here if you would just learn. So we tried to work with them there, and I'm not sure how that much that helped.
Well, it has helped. It actually has. Their piles have gotten a lot smaller.
Good.
So, but they still get the little.
They smell because they're wearing dirty clothes, but their piles have gotten smaller.
Yeah.
But that's fine. That's fine.
Okay. So yesterday when they came home, they just kept kind of walking around those piles, and I finally looked at them and said, guys, I need those clothes folded and put away before you do anything else. If I have to tell you again, there will be a consequence. Mm. And they don't like the consequences usually that
they have to go to school naked.
That's not a good consequence. I think we might get in trouble for that one.
They frown upon that.
Yes. So they're down there folding their clothes, and Josie comes over to me in the kitchen. I was cooking, and she says, Mom, I need to use the bathroom. Can I take a break? I was like, you can take a break. Just, and you can come right back and finish folding your clothes.
Kids use the bathroom at the most opportune times.
It's the perfect excuse. I mean, what are you going to say? No, you can't go to the bathroom.
No, pee yourself. No. So I'd rather get all those clothes. Oops, you peed yourself. That's something else to dry.
So she goes to do that. Well, I don't know. Colby was in La La Land while he was folding his clothes. He didn't even hear that whole conversation. So he gets his folded, and she was, let's just be honest, she was back there for a while. So she, he gets his folded and picks up his little piles, takes them to his room, and he comes back. He's like, Mama, Josie's still got clothes over here on the floor.
Mm.
In other words, is she going to get a consequence? Mm. And I looked at him and said, Bud, do you want me to give your sister a consequence? Are you tattling on her so that she'll get in trouble? No. They're just still there.
One day I just want him to say, yes. Yes, Mom, I want you to beat the mess out of her and put her on restriction. Please.
Please take just away
be,
her.
Be honest, kid. Come on.
I know. Well, that's the thing. She'll tell on him. And I'm like, do you want me to take away his devices?
We don't beat our children. I didn't mean to say that. Beat the mess out of them. No. So if you don't, I'm sorry.
No. That's, no, we take away their devices, which the Kindles and any computer gaming and stuff. And that's worse than anything to Colby.
We believe in good biblical discipline, but not beating the mess out of them.
That's right.
We leave the mess in them.
Yeah. Yes. And then they can wash more clothes when it comes out. So anyway, I look at him. I was like, do you want me to give her consequence? What is it? And he said, no. I mean, it's just still down there. And so I explained to him, she approved a break. She's coming right back. And Bud, you didn't take out the trash, like I said, to do as soon as you were done with that. You didn't pick up all these footballs and things around the living room floor. And I walked in his room and he had not put his clothes in the drawer. They were still stacked. They were just stacked on his bed. So he had not finished the drill. He was, but he wanted to make sure that his sister.
We knew she was in the wrong.
Yes, yes.
We need a disclaimer. Kids, one day if you listen to this podcast, yes, we threw you under the bus for the sake of illustrations.
Yes, they're going to hate this one day. So, but she had this good reason, but he wanted to make sure. You see what she did. You see what she did, right? You see what she did. Yeah. And I think that is the classic. I mean, that's just classic. Yep. I mean, not just with kids, but the classic case, I think, of Luke 6:42, where it talks about, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when you first fail to see the plank in your own eyes?
Mm.
You take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll be able to clearly see to remove the speck from your brother's eye.
Mm-hmm. And we do the exact same thing in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And couples that come into my office and... It's so funny because, you know, couples will do it. We'll teach a workshop or different things. I do a podcast episodes and couples are like, oh, I see you used my story in your podcast or in the workshop. And I'm like, no, your story is everyone's story.
Yes.
It's all this very similar stories. They're all the same. I can change the names and, you know, but so couples come in and this is one of the number one things that happens in the office when they're talking to me. And
how?
She did this, she did this. I was going to the bathroom, but she left her clothes everywhere. I mean, that kind of thing. And well, he can't do this and he just can't do this. And it's a, he said, she said, and whether they're together in the office or whether they come in individually. And that's what it is. And sometimes you need to talk that stuff out. A lot of times you need to talk that stuff out with somebody. And that's why we encourage counseling and to help someone, have someone help you see another vantage point of it.
Mm-hmm.
And especially in long-term conflict, it gets really bad. Cause then we view our spouse through a lens that, that is just really kind of picking them apart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this lens, it's a self-righteous lens that they can't do anything right. And of course, I'm perfect.
Right.
I fold my clothes every time. And
well,
so
I think that's kind of a self-protective or maybe a deflective reflex that we all tend to have, but it doesn't really move us forward in our conflicts. And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yes, we have one simple rule that we'll get to in just a second.
Hey everyone, want to put some fun back in your marriage? Then jump over to themarriageadventure.com. It's world renowned. And join the Marriage Adventure Challenge. It's 52 adventures in 52 weeks. You can even challenge other couples and friends. You'll not only have fun, but your kids will thank you for it. Now back to the show.
Okay, so today we're talking about what the blame game is like, and what the fact that in marriage we like to play the blame game. And it's not a whole lot different if you have kids than what your kids do, or if your kids are grown, what your kids used to do. And it really, really injures and hurts our marriage.
Yeah, well, this is not a new problem. I mean, you look back in Scripture and you look in Genesis, it goes back to the very beginning of Scripture, where Adam and Eve are in the garden, and before they sinned, they were in perfect fellowship with the Father, and they were in harmony with each other and getting along great. And then the second God called them out for messing up, says, Adam, what'd you do? And he's like, what did he do? First thing he's like,
well, this woman you gave me.
And then what'd she do?
You think Adam talked like, well, you think he had a
Southern
what kind
accent?
Of accent did he have?
I don't know what kind of accent he had, but he was throwing something. His wife under the bus right away, immediately.
He might have talked in that the African
language.
I don't know. He had some kind of language.
But he did that, and then she's like, well, it wasn't me. It was the serpent. It was this other thing that mm-hmm. caused me to sin, and they didn't see themselves. They started immediately playing the blame game, and we kind of do that. And, you know, I think it's interesting. Something interesting when I was thinking about that story is that when they were walking with God, you know, they didn't even really notice that they were naked. They didn't notice it. Their eyes had been so on God.
That'd be so great.
But their eyes were on God. Mm-hmm. And they were on each other. And then mm-hmm. sin entered, and they started looking at themselves. They started going, oh, they became aware that they weren't covered. They became yeah. aware of their nakedness all of a sudden. And then they start blaming each other for everything. It's like, mm-hmm. oh, he did it. No, she did it. Well, the serpent did it. They attempted to make coverings from themselves and
to hide their own sin.
To hide their own sin.
I don't think Adam made Eve a covering to help hide her sin.
No.
And help her.
No, maybe not.
I'm just speculating here.
Maybe not. I don't know. But we do try to cover up our own sin, and a lot of times we do it by deflecting the attention off of what we're doing mm-hmm. onto the other. And I think that happens a ton in marriage, where you might be, I see all the things you're doing wrong, mm-hmm. and I want to pick those apart, but I'm on the other side. I'm not looking at what I'm doing wrong.
Yeah. So here's one simple rule. So if you're in long-term conflict, and this works for short-term conflict too, mm-hmm. But sometimes in short-term conflict, you're just talking about one issue, or you're trying to make a decision on something, or you both disagree on something, and if you can come to a win-win solution, which is a whole nother podcast, on that issue, then you can help solve it. But for long-term conflict in marriage, what we begin to do is, like what I said earlier, we begin to develop this lens that we begin to view our spouse through, our partner through, our husband or your wife through. And that typically becomes a very self-righteous lens. Mm-hmm. And we begin to just see every one of their faults. And the more of those faults you begin to stack up, and the more resentful you get, the more self-righteous you get, and then pretty soon they can't do anything right.
Yeah,
and we're just picking them apart, and so when a couple comes in, and we begin to kind of detect this lens, and listen, sometimes this is very real. Sometimes your spouse is in the wrong, and sometimes, you know, if a husband's just checked out, or if a wife is just really kind of set a standard that's unfair and being very controlling, or whatever the issue is, it's very real. But in a very real situation, there's nothing you can do to change them.
Yeah.
You're not the person that can change them.
You mean me just nagging and staying on you is not going to change?
You know, that? Sometimes I think when I walk away, I think if she would just give me one more lecture, I would get it. That'd be so great. I need one more lecture. Yeah. I want to ask you for it, but I just don't think the yeah. time's right. And yeah, I know you need to prepare for things
exactly,
like that.
Exactly.
So, so that's not good. One more lecture is not going to help.
No.
Trying to change that, you're not going to do it. So just go on and realize that fact that you can't. But what you can do is encourage them. And trying to change somebody and encouraging someone to change is two totally different things. And so there's one simple rule that a lot of times I'll throw out. And let me tell you where I learned this simple rule. I'll never forget. I learned it in middle school, or back in the 80s, we called it junior high. And so I remember we went on a student, and back in the 80s, we called it youth group, not student group.
Youth group. That's so old. Good old youth group
days. Student ministry is so much more hip sounding. And so we went on a youth trip and like a retreat. And it was about, I can't remember what the topic was about, but I remember in my little workbook, as I was filling in the blanks there with the little cartoon clip art in that book, that we learned about this rule, and it's called the 90-10 rule. And here's what the 90-10 rule is. Maybe you've heard of it. Maybe you went on that retreat with me. It says this: if 90% of the problem is someone else's and 10% of the problem is yours, what percentage of that problem can you change?
Well, if I talk long enough, I can change the 90 of theirs.
Right.
If I can nitpick enough.
Yeah, exactly. Lecture. Exactly. And if you do that, then 20% of the problem becomes you gain more of the access of the problem. But you can't change their 90%. You can't do anything about that. You can only change your 10%. The problem is we get so focused on their 90%, we don't see our 10%. Mm-hmm. And typically, that percentage is skewed. Typically, it's not 90-10. Typically, it's probably more 50-50, yeah, or 40-60. Or I'm bad at math, so I can't give you any more fractions there. Whatever. But typically, it's not skewed that much. But even if it was, if I could focus on my 10%, then guess what? That's going to encourage you, Bonnie, in your 90%. And it's going to chip away at a lot of that. And it's going to change the culture in our home.
It kind of diffuses the situation
a little bit. It does. Diffuses the situation. And I think that's one of the biggest things that's lacking in marriage a lot of times and in relationships is self-awareness.
Yeah.
And that's what it takes to enact this 90-10 rule. If we're in long-term conflict and I'm just frustrated with you because you're leaving your clothes pile on the floor, not folding them, and you keep going to the bathroom, then if I can say, okay, I can ask, I can beg, I can get mad, I can go to my man cave, I can try all the tactics I've tried, and none of this is helping because that's the reason it's long-term conflict. Nothing's working.
Right.
So, all right, I'm going to try this. What am I doing wrong? What do I need to fix? Well, kind of like the story with the kids. Okay, so Josie hasn't folded her clothes yet. What if Colby had said, you know, I need to get my stuff done. Mm-hmm. I need to get my room clean. I need to do that. Then guess what? If I can do that in our marriage, then one, it's going to help my attitude because it's going to help me to be more empathetic for you because I'm going to be like, oh, okay. I got stuff too. Yeah. I ain't perfect. And that self-righteous lens kind of begins to go away when we get self-aware. But also I think it's going to do something for you.
Well, it helps me look around and say, okay, he's doing his part. He's investing. You know what? Maybe I need to take some responsibility for myself. Maybe I need to look and see what am I contributing to the problem? Mm-hmm. If I see you're working towards something, if I see you're working towards making peace in our home and towards moving towards me and not blaming me and not piling up accusations, if you're just taking responsibility for your stuff, oh, you're leading by example. I just want to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. And it's hard to be mean to somebody that's being incredibly kind to you.
Oh, absolutely. And I think you have to be self-aware, but you've also got to just take responsibility for yourself. And do your own part.
Yeah. I'll never, it's funny. We're going to throw our kids under the bus again. Sorry, kids. But it was just like the other day. We're sitting and Colby can't find his shoes. We're trying to go somewhere and we've got a few minutes before we're leaving. So Colby's trying to find his shoes. He can't find them anywhere. He has looked everywhere. Honestly, they're probably just in the den where he kicked them off. And so he's checked everywhere. I can't find them. We're like, well, buddy, just keep looking. They're around here somewhere, man. And wherever you left them. And finally, he found them. And he found them. Josie had a blanket that was kind of draped off the side of the couch. And he found them underneath that blanket on the floor in the den where they didn't need to be, underneath the blanket. And he said, oh, Josie, my shoes were under your blanket. And he instantly blamed them on Josie.
Yeah.
And we're like, buddy, did you just blame your sister for that? And yeah. He kind of went, I don't know. I shouldn't have.
Well, I think that is very typical because the enemy wants us to get.
It's typical of all of us.
Yeah. I'm not just talking about kids. I'm talking about me.
Yeah,
I mean,
me too.
When something goes wrong, I'm not
I
looking.
Agree. You.
I'm not looking to see what did I do wrong. I'm just aggravated. And rather than being aggravated at myself, I don't want to be aggravated at myself. Mm-mm. I'm going to look at somebody else to be aggravated at. Mm-hmm. And that I think that speaks a lot to God's got this great plan for our marriage. He wants to show his love to you through me and to me through you and for us to love each other well mm-hmm. and for people to see that and for them to say, what is different here? And to give mm-hmm. God glory for it. But the enemy wants to get us so entangled in our own selfishness and in playing the blame game and doing all these things. If we can focus on being nitpicky here, if we can have a messed up marriage here, if we can blame our spouse for this, not take responsibility for our stuff, then we're so busy with an internal struggle, we forget that there is a bigger mm-hmm. mission in mm-hmm. life that God's called us to as a couple to show the world his glory through the mm-hmm. way we love each other. And it's that whole Hebrews 12, 1 through 2, if we can fix our eyes on Jesus and just keep running the race set before us, then we've got to keep in mind there's something bigger out there than just the internal conflict that we keep having here.
Yeah. I love what Dr. Gary Chapman said in our interview with him. Early in their marriage, they were having such conflict. And remember, he said he was in seminary mm-hmm. and he was about to take a pastorate at a church. And his marriage was just not going well. And he said, I can't become a pastor when my marriage is in shambles like this.
He thought he had married the wrong person at that point.
Yeah. And so finally he said he was studying scripture. He was reading the Bible. And he read where Christ was in the upper room. And Christ started washing the disciples' feet. Mm. And all of a sudden, God just convicted him. And he realized, I need to be serving my wife the way Christ serve us and served, you know, love the church. Wow. And so he, remember he went to his wife and he said, he started asking her three questions every day. And I can't remember what those questions are, but it was along the lines of, how can I serve you?
What do you most need?
What do you most need today?
How can I love you
better?
How
can I love you better? Yeah. Something like that. And he just started asking those questions every day. And then, and that's putting on the self-awareness lens mm-hmm. and the grace lens. And
he said it changed everything.
It changed everything. He said within a month or so, she started asking those questions back.
Yeah.
And he had never verbalized to her his revelation or his epiphany. He just started serving her and started loving her. And pretty soon she started serving him and started loving him. And it's intoxicating when that can happen. And so that is one simple rule. If you're in long-term conflict, ask yourself, what's my 10%? What do I need to change? Because if I can become the person, and I think Andy Stanley used this not too long ago in a dating series that he was talking about, that we need to become the person that we want to marry. Mm. And so how can I become the person I want my spouse to be? And so that's just a very simple rule that if you can begin to put into action in your own heart and become self-aware, it can shift everything.
Yeah. Well, we like to close every week with some action steps. And the first one for this week is look at your marriage and see if you can identify a pattern of blame. If you're blaming, second thing is self-assess. What is my 10% in the recent conflict or the pattern of conflict that we have? Do we have patterns? Are mm-hmm. there things that it automatically happens when we get into this particular conversation? Mm-hmm. But what is my 10%?
Yeah. If you listen to this podcast and you instantly thought about your spouse's 10% or 90%, there might be a pattern there. Mm. And so if you didn't start looking at your own life, and that's what you have to do.
The third thing, make some time this week to humble yourself enough to discuss this with your spouse. Mm-hmm. Maybe have them listen to this and say, let's sit down and let's talk about this 90-10 thing. Mm-hmm. Now, don't go immediately and say, you've got the 90, I've got the 10.
No, as a matter of fact, I wouldn't even mention their 90.
Yeah.
That's not a healthy thing to do. Mm-hmm. And honestly, that doesn't help you because then it becomes manipulative. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to change my 10% so I can get your 90% changed.
No.
I'm trying to change my 10% so I can love you with the love of Christ.
Just be obedient.
And then leave the rest to God.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then the fourth thing, go have fun today.
Have fun together, not just by yourself.
No.
Have fun by yourself, yeah. But go have fun with your spouse. And if you haven't joined our Marriage Adventure Challenge, do it. Go over to the World Renowned, themarriageadventure.com website, and join the challenge. When you join the challenge, you'll get to download a free PDF ebook adventure guide. It'll lay out all the rules or all the stuff. It'll give you over 100 ideas for adventures, for fun dates you guys can do together. It'll give you discussion questions, things to talk about on those times together. And then challenge another couple, some friends of yours, and beat them. And yep. then make a wager, do something.
Yep, it'll be fun. Well, that's it for this show, and we hope that you'll be back and listen to us again next week.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast. Then head on over to Facebook and Instagram and give us a follow. Have a great week.